Welcome to Breakdown. I'm Charles Ames. Today we'll talk with national pundit comedian John Fugelsang on Are Conservatives Killing Christianity? Next, in Both Sides Now, we'll have a debate about immigrants. And then I'll finish with a personal discussion on guns. That's all coming up now in Breakdown. Let's roll. This is Charles Ames for KTAH-FM. Today I'm talking with comedian, actor, and broadcaster, recovering cynic, John Fugelsang. He can be heard on Sirius XM Channel 127, Monday through Friday, according to his Twitter profile, and I'll never stop calling it Twitter. And he is also, for my money, pound for pound, the smartest wit this side of Dorothy Parker. Welcome, John Fugelsang.
I'm not worthy, but thank you very much.
I don't know. It's wits like that are getting harder and harder to come by, and you certainly fill the bill, Mr. Fugelsang. All right, here we go.
Thank you. I tried for wit, and then they changed it to snark. So I don't know. I tried for art, and then they changed it to content. So I'm one step behind all the time.
But the question is nowadays: do you have riz?
I have no riz. No, I have no riz. I also have no feck, and I have no Ruth.
All right. Well, do you have pluck or do you have spunk?
I have plunk. I actually had a hybrid of the two. I got it done at Bangkok. This doctor's all right, John, stem cells for it.
All right. Let's get to it. I think that something that is of mutual concern to us is are conservatives killing Christianity? We're seeing that very recently a new Speaker of the House was elected, Mike Johnson. And he says that if you want to know anything about him, all you have to do is read the Bible.
Oh.
Your call, Mr. Fugelsang.
Which part of the Bible do we have to read? The part where angels fell to earth and mated with human females and who gave birth to giants who roam the earth? Is that the part he means? The part where Eve believes a talking snake and so monthly menstruation and painful childbirth are perpetual punishment for all women? Is that what he believes? Does he believe St. Paul saying that women can never be an authority to men? Does he believe when Leviticus calls for the stoning to death of disobedient children? You know, the Bible is a mirror, and I've learned you will see in it whatever you want to see. If you want to see cruelty and authoritarianism and harshness, you'll see that. If you want to see love and grace and acceptance and compassion and forgiveness, you'll see that too. The Bible is always a pretty accurate mirror of whoever's looking at it.
All right. And he says, look at the Bible. But then on the other hand, he's probably, with every suit he's wearing, two different materials. I understand he recently went to Las Vegas and what happens in Las Vegas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
nothing wrong with Las Vegas. A lot of wholesome people go to Las Vegas all the time. And you're right. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for the chlamydia virus. It doesn't really work that way.
It's a fully self-contained enclave. And so if we ever want an infusion, we know where to go. I mean, we can get some new pandemics discovered there, I guess, if we wish to dip our toe. But now the 45th president, long may he rave, has referred to him as MAGA Mike. And I don't doubt that a lot of conservative Christians are happy to see that he's there. But he got all 217 Republican votes, if I'm not mistaken, to get him into that position. Therefore, there must be a little bit of wiggle room. But it's not looking good for maybe, I'm guessing, the shutdown. And back to the subject, I think that probably we need to maybe talk about the hypocritical nature of conservatives who more and more rarely are calling themselves Christians.
Well, I don't call him MAGA Mike. I call him Trump's mean little Johnson. And he's already pretty exposed. You know, you're right. He's heading for this government shutdown. His honeymoon is, sadly, he's not going to have much of a honeymoon. He's going to be in a very tough position. He got unanimous voting all 25 representatives who voted against Jim Jordan voted for this guy, who arguably is just Jim Jordan with more hangups and access to a sports coat. And, you know, he's about to face this government shutdown where he's got a choice. He's either going to have to work with Democrats to keep our government going, to keep our troops paid, to keep needy families getting assistance. He's going to have to work with Democrats to keep the government from having a pointless shutdown, because that's what adults do. Any budget he signs off on is going to have to be approved by this Senate and this White House. He's going to have to compromise. That's what adults have to do. And if he does that, then he's going to enrage the Nazi caucus that put him in power in the first place. So he's sort of in a very difficult position. And I'll be honest, I've come to think after Newt Gingrich and then Denny Hastert and then John Boehner, Paul Ryan, and Kevin McCarthy, Republican House Speaker has become the Spinal Tap drummer of government jobs. I it's pretty scary. In terms Not of the Christianity, this man boasts a lot of his piety, as you began by mentioning, as do many Republicans. I don't think they're becoming less religious. I think they're digging in more and more. My whole question with that is, okay, fine, you can identify however you want to identify. It's a free society. And I'll be honest, conservative Christians have been some of the loveliest people I've ever met. They're often very much more liberal with kindness than liberals can be. So I've known lots of lovely, very polite conservative Christians. My whole point is, if you are legislating against everything Jesus talked about, if you are pretending that things Jesus never mentioned, like criminalizing abortion or persecuting transgender children or being mean to gay people or persecuting the Christian refugees at our southern border by calling them illegals, I don't really know where the Jesus comes in. If you're supporting the death penalty, if you're legislating to make the rich richer, if you're legislating to cut services to the sick and needy, I don't really see where the Jesus part comes in. It's sort of like if you're a Rolling Stones cover band and you sell tickets billing yourself as a Rolling Stones cover band, but you only do songs by Vanilla Ice and Nickelback, you might need to find a new name for your club. Jesus, the character in the Bible, was a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung around with lepers, hookers, and criminals, never spoke English, wasn't an American citizen, wasn't nationalist. He was anti-death penalty, anti-wealth, anti-public prayer, Matthew 6:5, anti-public prayer, never once anti-gay, never once mentioned abortion, never said put women in jail for it, never said put doctors to hard labor for years for it, never said punish poor pregnant women with greater poverty, because the majority of women who terminate pregnancies are already mothers. He never said the state should force pregnant raped children to carry and bear their attackers' babies. Never anti-gay, never called the poor lazy, never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarenes, never said torture's okay sometimes, commanded his followers to pay their taxes, to be nonviolent. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. He was against self-defense. He commands his followers to care for the poor, care for the sick, be kind to those in prison, and welcome the stranger. It's the only commandment about immigration in the Old or New Testament. And he was a long-haired, brown skin, that's in Revelation, homeless, community organizing, anti-slut-shaming, unarmed, Palestinian, liberal, Jew. That's if you believe what's actually in the Bible.
Are you telling me that Jesus was not a blonde American who spoke with an English accent?
I think one of the most evil things that ever happened to this country was when they began having illustrated Bibles in the 1800s, and they began introducing Jesus as a blonde, blue-eyed figure. The only blonde, blue-eyed guy in the entire Middle East. We knew he was special.
And laughing all the time. Boy, the guy just loved a good turn of phrase. And now, with a couple minutes that remains, I'd like to point out that I kept a list that it seems like Donald Trump, the aforementioned Colt 45 president, must have, by my count, broken every single one of the Ten Commandments.
I would agree.
All right.
But I would agree. I mean, you know, he killed more federal prisoners than any president in 100 years and carried out assassinations. So you've got thou shalt not kill covered. You've got thou shalt not steal well covered. He stole from veterans, rewrote his dad's will while his dad was dying. I mean, I mean, graven images. Yeah. I mean, adultery. Think so. But I don't really ask about that because we're all, you know, the whole point of Christianity is we're all sinners, right? We're all, you know, seeking forgiveness somehow. That's the point of the religion. To me, if you're going to use Jesus's name to get ahead professionally and politically, but legislate against his actual teachings, that's where I come in against it, because I was raised by really good Christian people. I don't claim to be a good Christian, but I know the Bible really well, and I've known really good Christians. And so my whole question to right-wing folk is, please tell me one actual teaching of Jesus the Republican Party has fought for this century. One thing Jesus actually said that guided your vote for Donald Trump. One Jesus teaching Trump's not the opposite of. And I've never really gotten an answer to it. Never. Because people haven't read the Jesus parts of the Bible.
And all we hear is crickets. That seems to be the end of the conversation.
Well, no, what I hear, if I may, Chaz, what I hear is false answers. They'll say abortion. And I'll be like, the Bible's not against abortion. Jesus' religion of Judaism's not against abortion. Abortions are legal and free in Israel. Then they'll say, the strong border. And I'm like, no, not build walls, build bridges. If Trump was Christian, he'd be at the border with blankets and water for these people. The Bible commands you to welcome the stranger. And there's no part of the Bible that says God recognizes our little invisible lines we draw on the ground to separate our tribes. Third most common answer I'll get, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And that's what I've got to say. This might shock you, but neither America nor its embassies are mentioned 2,000 years ago in the New Testament.
What about Hillary's emails?
I get that a long time. I get that a lot. And I've got to go back to that. Well, not fair, false witness. I like to ask our Republican friends, can you name me one day, month, day, year of Donald Trump's presidency where he didn't lie to you? Just one. Try it with your friends.
Yeah, 30,000, according to the Washington Post. John, all too soon, we're out of time. We've gone our 10, 11 minutes, but I hope that perhaps in the future, if our schedules can meet, that we can talk again, sir.
As long as my parole officer signs off on it, I'm happy to join you. Thank you.
All right. John Fugelsang, Sirius XM, Channel 127, Monday through Friday. And just recently came off the Sexy Liberal Tour as well. You can see him there regularly. Also on Stephanie Miller. Love when I see him on Tom Harden. Thank you so much.
We're a free podcast every day. The John Fugelsang podcast on all the things.
There you go. Thank you very much, John. It's just amazing and a thrill to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
This is Charles Ames with Both Sides Now. I'm talking again with Dr. Phil Kiever. He is most recently a radio host out of Spokane. He has also been a keynote speaker for a number of engagements, not the least of which is Liberty University, the Reagan Library, and hundreds of other occasions. He has also recently had his book, 182 Days in Iraq, re-released. Welcome aboard, Dr. Phil Kiever.
Good morning, and I would just like to add, I also have amazing legs.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, today's topic.
Just get that image in their mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, is that right? You're thinking about that a lot, are you?
Yes.
Today's topic is immigration, and I think that we need to educate ourselves about who Steve Jobs' biological father was, or who Alan Kurdi is. A third, 95 out of almost 300 of most recent count of all U.S. Nobel Prizes in the sciences have been earned by immigrants. 51% of all American billion-dollar startups are created by immigrants. Look, there's a lot of sports figures who are immigrants. Rupert Murdoch is an immigrant. Melania Trump is an immigrant. Ted Cruz, Madeleine Albright, Arianna Huffington, John Muir, Irving Berlin, Andrew Carnegie. Bob Hope, Eddie Van Halen, Joni Mitchell, Gloria Estefan, Natalie Portman, Sofia Vergara, Padma Lakshmi, Schwarzenegger, Einstein, Tesla, Levi Strauss. The inventor of blue jeans was an immigrant. If you know anything about the immigrant paradox, you know that immigrants score higher in all sorts of categories. They create less crime. They create more jobs, more of the startups that we talked about. It's an infusion of fresh blood that we so sorely need, Phil.
Well, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I could list off a whole bunch of names of illegal immigrants who've committed murder, rape, aggravated assault, mayhem, bank robbery, carjackings. The list could go on and on. You did leave out the inventor of Hershey's was also an immigrant. All four of my grandparents were immigrants who came through Ellis Island. They checked the box. They signed the piece of paper. They were inoculated. They were screened for diseases. And most importantly, they stood in a line on that day on the dock at Ellis Island, swore an oath to this country. And what's happening today is we just have illegal immigrants just running willy-nilly across the border, all around the United States. I have been to Eagle Pass, Texas, a couple of times. I went most recently 3 years ago during the dry season. Strike that, maybe not 3 years ago. Trump was president, so we'll say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was two trucks ago. But I rode a horse across the Rio Grande. I walked across the river to the Mexican side. I rented a horse.
You're an illegal immigrant.
I'm an illegal immigrant. I walked back and forth across the the southern border without showing my passport to anyone. But Trump was president at that time, and our borders were not wide open. Immigrants knew that they would be deported, that they were not welcome to come and rape or start up a new company, as you so eloquently put. But now the policies of the current president and the Democrat Party, it's open season. Whether you're bringing fentanyl, you're bringing child labor for Tyson's chicken, which they were just found to be guilty of, there needs to be a border. Without an enforceable border, we don't have a country.
So should we stop telling these other countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Ecuador, that the border is wide open, which is causes them to come up north to seek better opportunities for their families,
instead of being gunned down
by gangs?
Yeah, I get it. You and I have both been to some horrible places to live, eat, work, and just be a human being on this planet.
Talking about Seattle.
Seattle, Portland, San Francisco,
Kuwait.
Raleigh.
We're talking about Kuwait and Iraq. Yes.
I've been to 67 countries around the world. If you have a change dish in your car or your house, you are among the richest 1% of the people on the planet because you have extra money at the end of every day. There are billions of people who live on less than a dollar a day. And I thank God that you and I live in the best country that God ever made, but we cannot take in everyone. We do need infusion of new blood and ideas. All four of my grandparents came from somewhere else. That's wonderful. But you got to stand in line. We got to know who you are. You got to show up for your court date if you have one, and you can't commit crimes.
Everybody agrees with that. Now, last year, we had over 1 million jobs that were going wanting, and 1 million people came into the country. Gosh, if only there was some way that we could reconcile both of those problems.
Right. Well, just because 1 million people came doesn't mean that those 1 million immigrants can fill those 1 million jobs. You know, every job has a skill. I don't care, if you're flipping burgers in a James Brown music video, or, you're Melania Trump, or you're Levi Strauss, or you're Mr. Hershey. There are skill sets that every person has, and those skill sets need to be matched with jobs that we have. My mom and dad live up north of Seattle, and they needed to get their house painted a few years ago, and they're old, and I asked if they were going to be painting the house themselves, or why wouldn't they go hire a Hispanic to do it? And my mom said, oh, they don't paint the houses around here. They only mow the grass. And she really said that, but she grew up in the 1950s when, immigration really wasn't a thing. So my mom and dad ended up painting the house themselves. So there was a job that went wanting, but there was not anyone in their particular neighborhood or their sphere of influence who could paint their house.
Phil, have you ever picked apples?
I have picked apples. I've picked, I've picked- um, I've, I've picked strawberries the past three seasons.
I picked apples for a day and a half, and I don't want to do that job. And there's very few people that do want to do that job.
There's two reasons why I like it. You can eat as many strawberries as you want, and because the farmer that I work for is engaged in row crop agriculture, and I am engaged in animal agriculture, there is equipment and knowledge that him and I can share with each other, and it's a really good symbiotic relationship. But I don't discourage anyone for going out and picking food that we're all going to eat, or working at Tyson's Chicken, or you know, Purdue Chicken, or any of these places, Oscar Mayer. I mean, who doesn't love bologna, right? We need these jobs filled, but we cannot just let people come in running across the border, you know, assaulting our Border Patrol officers. I camped out in Big Bend on that trip where I rode the horse 4 or 5 years ago, and I had an illegal immigrant stumble into my camp in the middle of the night and said that he hadn't had water in 5 days. And he looked it. And there was also a Border Patrol agent that was murdered in Big Bend National Park that night, not more than 20 miles away from where I was camped. So I don't believe that a regular citizen from San Antonio drove down to Big Bend to murder a Border Patrol agent in the middle of the night. That was an illegal immigrant coming from one of these countries where there are desperate situations around the world to be here and killed one of our Border Patrol personnel. We can't have that. We cannot abide by it. Without a border, there's no country.
And so you might then agree that we need comprehensive immigration policy redone. And yet the conservatives, the Republicans, time and time again, have refused every opportunity to improve it. They're making hay over this fact that there is a quote unquote border problem. And meanwhile, Biden is current president, going back as far as my
political memory takes us, which is to Tip O'Neill, and my academic memory takes me back much farther than that because I read and stuff. Whenever immigration reform has been put on the table, the Democrats want to grant amnesty to those who have already broken the law and are here illegally. Yes, we do need comprehensive immigration reform, but as a conservative, I'm not willing to give a free pass to those who have already broken the law. I don't think anchor babies should continue to be a thing. I think we need to examine that and really get, you know, a handle on who is coming into our country and fill the jobs that need to be filled.
Reagan gave millions amnesty.
I know, and I wasn't old enough to vote. And I wasn't old enough to vote for Reagan, and I would have argued against that.
All right, Phil, we're getting close to our time limit. It's always fun. It's always engaging. And look for Dr. Phil Kiever's book, 182 Days in Iraq. And as always, Phil, I love you, man.
I still hate your guts.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Listen, what country has the most guns? What country has the most gun deaths? There are now more guns than people in America. How many guns are stolen each year? Up to 600,000. And you want to increase that number? A child kills someone an average of once a week. For the first time in American history, guns are the leading cause of children's death, only in America. And you want to increase that number? Ask yourself why Oath Keeper Stuart Rhodes has to wear an eye patch. Consider the argument, I put my gun on the table and it hasn't killed anyone. Do you let your kid play with your Sig Sauer P-38? Do you use it as a paperweight at the office? Wander the neighborhood holding a gun? What if a stranger came up to your house with a gun? If guns aren't dangerous, why does the GOP forbid CDC research into their effects? If guns aren't dangerous, why is it illegal for a doctor to ask if there's one in the house? If guns don't kill people, why do you have one? How about the good guy with a gun fallacy? Sorry, it ain't gonna line up just like in the movies. Quick, you've got an active shooter situation. Three good guys are armed and brandishing. You're a police officer coming in. You have 1 second to act. Cops are trained and carry, yet they get killed. Why do you want to stand out? If mass shootings are all mental health issues, that means guns are easy to get. If gun training is so effective, why do hunters need to wear orange? Japan has strict gun laws. Know how many people died from guns in Japan in 2022? 4. 2 of them were gang members. I am a 20-year military veteran. I don't need a gun. My brother got drunk and killed himself with a gun he painted flames on. He clearly didn't understand the risk. He threatened to kill himself before that, and he had his gun confiscated, but by law, it had to be returned to him. A year later, my mother couldn't handle it, got drunk, and shot herself. Dead. What are the first 4 words of the Second Amendment? Rabid gun activists always see the secret government gun force ready to take your guns away today, and they're starting at your house. I will support your Second Amendment rights when you stop retranslating a well-regulated militia. It's one topic, one sentence. Unless you're trying to say the Founding Fathers only got this wrong. The Constitution is flawless and sacred, except those 4 words. No account of the reinterpretation of the Second Amendment exists before 1970. Why does the NRA need to strong-arm Congress into stopping gathering of data and forbidding gun tracking? Guns that you can now take onto Amtrak and onto national parks. Now you can take a gun into a kindergarten in Kansas. Now children can have guns in North Carolina. Iowa has been granting weapons permits to blind people. Now you can keep your gun if you have drug convictions in Ohio. Now felons in Louisiana can have guns. Now you can take a gun into a bar in Arizona, Georgia, Kansas, Maine, Tennessee, Virginia, Ohio, and Wisconsin. In Utah, a person under felony indictment can buy a gun, and a person charged with a violent crime may be able to retain a concealed carry permit. Nebraskans who have pled guilty to a violent crime can get a permit to carry a gun. Virginia not only repealed a law requiring handgun vendors to submit sales records, but also ordered the destruction of all such previous records. Now is not the time to talk about guns. When is the time? After 20 children are gunned down in a school, or instead of? After 50 people are killed in a nightclub, or instead of? After 60 people are mowed down from a hotel window, or instead of? Guns don't kill people. Neither do hand grenades, nor cigarettes. More than half of mass shootings are caused by documented domestic abusers. Background checks would catch them, unless you think mass shootings are an American tradition. Conservatives carry guns and are always angry and afraid. Progressives aren't afraid and won't carry. Want a lot of guns and no government? Ask your doctor if Somalia is right for you. Your car has to be registered. Your vote has to be registered. For God's sakes, your dog has to be registered. What's wrong with accountability for deadly weapons? Till then, we'll have to carry guns everywhere. In darkened theaters, at surprise parties, at gas stations, in hospitals, in daycares, at Little League practices, at Tupperware parties, at swimming pools, at dog parks, at mental institutions, in saunas, in malls, at petting zoos, at car sales, on airlines, at boat launches, in factories, in church, at NRA headquarters. So tell me where I'm wrong.